The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Sudan erupted into conflict on April the 15th last year. The Sudanese army has been fighting against the Rapid Support Forces, so-called. It's a paramilitary group led by a man called Mohamed Hamda Dagalo, or he is known as Hemedti. Both sides stand accused of war crimes by the other. There is no exact idea of the current death toll, but there certainly is an idea of the huge numbers of those displaced. Joining us to talk about this is Irish Times correspondent and author Sally Hayden. Sally, good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, Sally, what is the reason for this war? What are the government and this paramilitary army fighting about?
Yeah, I mean, the reason for the war is basically a power struggle. And I think it's really important to say, you know, I think people, when they hear about this region, they think that maybe it's always been troubled or things have always been bad. And basically what happened was Omar al-Bashir, the longstanding dictator, was ousted in 2019. And there was actually a very kind of positive, hopeful period after that where there were hopes that the country could turn to civilian rule. And there's so many, you know, young pro-democracy activists who were really, really working towards that. But instead, you've had this power grab, first by these two men who kind of orchestrated a coup in 2021. And so we're actually allies working with each other to kind of stop the country from going to civilian rule. And now they've turned against each other. And I mean, this was highly predictable, but it's also completely devastating because for Sudanese people, they were, you know, it was almost in their grasp that the country would become a democracy a good place.
So, Sally, this is not about principle. It is simply about power.
Now,
the two individuals, one heading the Sudanese army and the other the paramilitary group, they clearly are cut from the same cloth, both armies being accused of war crimes.
Yes, exactly. And also, I think it's worth mentioning that, I mean, the Rapid Support Forces, they obviously were kind of built out of the Janjaweed that are accused of genocide in Darfur in 2003. But they're also said to have been emboldened by EU anti-migration funding. So partially why they became so powerful was because they were charged with guarding the border to try and stop people migrating towards Europe. It's just devastating, and everybody's suffering. Like, Sudanese civilians are obviously just suffering to such a huge extent. It's unimaginable.
We know that there could be the possibility of famine for many people. It's a country of 45 million people, 9 million people displaced, many of them making their way across the border into South Sudan, which is the newest country in the world, they say. I think it dates from 2011, but itself a model of corruption. And I'm not sure, is there a welcome on the mat for the Sudanese when they go into South Sudan?
Yeah, so I was actually on the Sudan-South Sudan border a few weeks ago, and around 1,000, sometimes many more people are crossing every day. And they don't need documents. They're being welcomed, you know, effectively with open arms. A minister there told me that they have an open door policy, that they understand that people fleeing war need to be protected. But there's very limited, you know, actual resources and capacity for what they can be given. A lot of the people returning are actually South Sudanese citizens originally who fled war in South Sudan, went to Sudan and now are coming back. But there are others both from Sudan and even from other countries who had fled to Sudan seeking refuge and are now crossing the border as well. And yeah, the conditions in South Sudan, I mean, it's really rough. You know, people are arriving with basically nothing. They're receiving some limited help when they cross. But yeah, seeing that flow of people, more than 630,000 people have now crossed into South Sudan alone.
Now, it's the forgotten war, but you're doing your best to keep it in the public mind. There was a peace conference or some sort of a conference yesterday in Paris. What was hoped would be achieved by that? Because every day we read about Gaza, we read about Ukraine, we don't read about Sudan.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the hope was just to try and get more attention. There was both like a political meeting and also a donor meeting. I think I read the figures today, still only 6.2% of the humanitarian response plan, I think, for this year is funded. Ireland, it's worth saying, has been a major donor, and I think they're technically ranked as the seventh biggest donor after the EU, which obviously we also contribute to. And after the Central Emergency Response Fund, which we also contribute to. The other thing I think worth saying is like we have this characterization now of Sudan as a forgotten war, but like it's obviously not forgotten for tens of millions of people who are affected by it, you know. And the Western media certainly needs to pay more attention because it's
There's a
just.
hashtag, keep eyes on Sudan. What is that about, and how should we use it?
I think like right from the beginning, Sudanese people recognized that this war was not going to get the attention that it should. And they will say, you know, they think that that's partially racism. It's the way that Africa is covered. It's also this feeling that maybe it was inevitable when they'll say definitely it wasn't, and that they needed more support all along. And this hashtag, keep eyes on Sudan, has been what people use to share information about the Sudanese war and just try and appeal for everybody to pay more attention.
Is there any external forces outside Sudan within Africa who take an interest in this and could broker some sort of a settlement? Because these two warring factions, given they wear pals and are cut from the same cloth, could keep at it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure at the moment. It doesn't seem like there's any kind of movement towards any sort of settlement. And I know that both the warring parties, they weren't even involved in the conference yesterday. Both of them have been kind of doing, you know, PR campaigns effectively, trying to say that they'd be the best people to run Sudan. But yeah, I don't see that coming anytime soon anyway.
Sally, thank you very much for joining us. Sally Hayden, Irish Times journalist and author.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.